Let's pray. Father, what a day of joy and worship, and thank you for working in our lives and the things that you bring into our lives and the people and the part that we can have in their lives. We thank you for the joy of Christian fellowship, this being able to, Lord, walk in the light, to have wonderful hope and peace. We praise you for all those things. Draw our attention to your word now. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Peel away all of the layers. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Who is wise and understanding among you? Who is wise and understanding among you? Let's set the scene. This is James writing about 2,000 years ago. Well, who is this James? James is a Jew, grew up in a Jewish household. Well, his big brother just happens to be Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah of the Jews. Who wrote these words? James wrote these words. Who did he write them for? Who is he addressing with this question? James, that's so tightly woven, the themes of faith and of wisdom and of good works and a good life and the things that we need to address so that we have that good life. Two weeks ago, speaking, addressing the danger of the tongue. But who did he write these words for? Well, we've seen he wrote these words for the scattered believers all over the world, probably prominently Jewish believers, and for every generation of believers since that time. He wrote the words, the question, who is wise and understanding among you, for us to hear today. I'm sure James probably didn't understand that 2,000 years later, that should just kind of blow our socks off, shouldn't it? He's writing these words, this letter to these other believers to encourage, to exhort, to instruct. I just don't really know that James or Paul or any of them were thinking, well, you know, 2,000 years later, people will be reading these words. God knew, though. So these words should be just as fresh and clear this morning as when the people received this letter and they passed it from fellowship to fellowship, and James prodded them with this question, who is wise and understanding among you? Okay, but what revisions should we make? I mean, you know, adjust this teaching for Christians and society today. It has been 2,000 years. So let's get on with the times. What do we need to change about this teaching? How do we bring this instruction into the real world? And you're shocked and you're gasping. Oh no, we would not make any changes. We would not make any adjustments to the Word of God. Dave, what are you saying? We would not change anything. That's God's Word, divine, breathed out, holy, inspired. But we do. We do. Every time we turn our tongue loose to bring someone harm, we make an adjustment to God's way of wisdom. Every time we allow our pride to take over and direct our lives, every time we fall into jealousy and rivalry with fellow believers, every time we elevate some earthy, homespun wisdom over the divinely inspired Word of God, every time we choose revenge over mercy, every time we are harsh instead of gentle, rude instead of reasonable. Oh yes, we do change the words. We won't say it out loud. Maybe we don't even realize it. But it is time. The light bulb came on. We took these words at face value. And then look out for the freshness of the Holy Spirit of God to move in your heart and to touch the people around you. Look out for the group of people who are actually listening to God, right down to the every behavior and every word we speak. Would you turn with me to James chapter 3, verse 13, James 3:13. I'm going to push the study sheet again. Don't be reading it while I'm preaching. I'm watching you. But I check it out. There's and you know what? Could write a book on just this section. James 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. See, we do adjust a lot of things in evangelicalism, fundamentalism, whatever we call it. We, from our religious upbringing, from our life experiences, we have taken many of the truths of God's Word, and much of it having to do with our tongue and the way that we speak to one another. And we've said, well, it's been okay. They're good Christians. I'm a good Christian. It's okay. This is Grandma Betty. Grandma Betty said it's okay. My denomination, this is okay. The what's trending in today's society says it's okay. I've had people say, talk about, well, when you live this stuff out in the real world, well, I don't know what world you live in that you think is real. But the world that I believe is real, the one I believe Scripture points us to, is the one where God is present and we don't change His words. They need no alteration at all. No cultural adjustments. We don't, you know, God's not on daylight savings time. We don't have to change our clocks. And here are these words that we heard last week. Very impacting words last week, and the words that we hear this week. And James asks, who is wise and understanding among you? And he doesn't point to this vast reservoir of knowledge, does he? A little bit of a funny story. I had a lady in our first church, and she was telling me, and there was a guy who came. He came to our church at times, and she said, and I won't say his name. I'm actually surprised I remember his name. It'd be better if I didn't. But she said, such and such. She said, he's so wise. She said, but then she followed it up. She said, but I really can't understand a thing he says. You know, what are our thoughts of wisdom? Oh, they're so deep. Oh, that person's so deep. They're so wise. And I just can't understand. Boy, they got that knowledge down. Well, let me just say, I find a clear approach to someone prodding us, asking us about wisdom, finding it stated, asked more bluntly than James asks it here, who is wise and understanding among you? And then look at James's answer. If you follow what I'm saying, just look in the Bible, and this question is asked, and then what is presented as the wise life? We hear, said, I get it. We hear that. ESPN, Mike Golick, others say it now too. He said, I get that. So what James, I think, is saying here is, who gets it? Who gets it? Who is wise and understanding among you? Well, we can know. And this is James continued there. He said, by this person's good life, let him display his good works of faith in the humility of wisdom. Now you have something we're not. You can on the back of the first thing under the globe. I did a little interesting thing there, just bringing all the way from the beginning, this thread of faith and wisdom. And you know, in chapter 2 we looked at, said, faith without works is what?
Dead.
It's dead. Well, wisdom is the result of faith that has been matured. Now, it's not a stretch. I think it's a very clear biblical tie. James doesn't say it. Well, he doesn't say it directly, but it's there. Wisdom without works is what? If there's not a good life, how wise are you? You follow that? James said, who is wise and understanding among you? He said, well, if you are wise and understanding, it will be shown by your good life. The Spirit of God, it's inconceivable, I think, to God that we can say that the Spirit of God's dwelling in me, that I've trusted in Christ and received his gift of salvation, and there's no work of God in our lives. And Andy and Jason, I wasn't just teasing about Sunday school. It was just really great. And because they had said, you know, we went to Italy to minister to Italians. God always has a bigger plan than we do. But when you have these good works, it starts impacting people around you, and you will draw people to you. Wisdom, maybe in the world, you can just be some intellectual thing, and you can have deep people that they can talk and you can't understand. You won't find God talking about wisdom in that way. You won't see God talking about wisdom in that way. And while we're at it, if you're not wise, if you are not wise, then why are you not wise? Okay, Dave, now what are you saying? Well, flip back to chapter 1 for a second. Don't really have to, because I think we're enough familiar with it. What does verse 5 say? If you don't have wisdom,
ask God.
So if you don't have it, what went wrong?
You didn't ask.
Why didn't we ask? Or maybe we asked, but we were asked with a double-minded person. The earth and heaven person. See, a little bit later in our text, it's going to talk, it says the wisdom of from above is first of all pure. The wisdom from above is the wisdom from above only. I think that's what that's talking about. It concept develops. But what we want is the wisdom from above, and we mix in our earthy, homespun, our stuff we've learned along the way, that it's really not in the Bible. We'll sometimes sling Bible verses out there and say they're saying that and they're not. So we've asked God for wisdom, but we're still hanging on to earth wisdom. And so we're not getting it. So we didn't ask, or we're hanging on to earth wisdom. Well, how do we tell? We can tell positively from a good life, with good works from our faith, and with humility from wisdom. How can we tell maybe if we're not getting it? Do you deal with jealousy a little bit more than you should? Is your brother or your sister your rival? Or your partner in service, your fellow servant? Hey, choir, don't get all big-headed, but weren't they great last week?
Amen.
And you know what the choir does? And I don't want to ruin it by talking about it too much. You know, sometimes we can do that. Because, you know, we get there and boy, we start practicing and we're making all kinds of mistakes and we're wondering and we just pray, and it's just like we're servants of God, fellow servants of Jesus Christ, and say, Lord, we're going to work on notes, and we're going to work on rhythm and tempo and dynamics, and Lord, we're going to let you, it's more than just people singing, it's God taking this little crew that we have and just blending us together. We bow before God and he blends our spirits together, and then look what God does. So when are we dealing, is it that person a rival? Is there some bitterness and jealousy that's come in? There's no grounds to stay in that place for the believer in Jesus Christ. We all deal with jealousy in some degree or another. We don't just write it off. Don't just okay it, rationalize it. There's something we're hanging on to. We're hanging on to something of this earth, overly so. And it says, in verse 14, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast and be false to the truth. And we fall into arrogance. We fall into self-denial. What happens is, see, and here's why I was talking about this book of James so interwoven. This takes us back to the person who goes and looks in the mirror. They go and they look in the mirror, and the person who only hears God's word and doesn't do God's word, immediately, as soon as they turn around, whoosh, forgot who they were. But in their mind, we have this concept of who we are. We have in our mind, we're a spiritual person. We're wise, we're understanding. Say, hey, Dave's talking about me this morning in verse 13. And we don't know. So we have to ask ourselves, the person that we think we are, is that the person that the people around us see? Now, we're not talking about perfection here. We all know that. I shouldn't even mention that. We're talking about someone who's being moved by the Spirit of God, who's following the Spirit of God. And we have our perception of ourselves. Is that the people around us? Is that who they see? More importantly, is that the person God sees? Is that the person God sees? All these good things that flow from following God, we obey His word. Yes, it is humbling. Being humbled is a good place to be. It's a real good place to be. All this fruit, this harvest of peace, this harvest of righteousness. The person who is wise and understanding lives a life of good works and humility. The person who is wise, not wise and understanding, lives by earthly wisdom and falls prey to jealousy and rivalry. I read verse 14. I'll read verses 15 and 16. Well, let me finish. I just start in verse 14, sorry. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above. This is not the wisdom. We have a lot of influences, even from within evangelicalism, even from sometimes our radio preachers, our people on TV who profess to be Christians. Sometimes it is from Grandma Betty. Sometimes it's from our denomination. Sometimes it's from our church. If it doesn't match up with what God's saying, if it's not clearly stated, this is not the wisdom that comes down from above. Now, what God's going to do now is, we've seen that, we've recognized it on the surface. He's going to go inside. He's going to say, now look inside. This is where this wisdom, I'm going to identify for you, if we're listening, this wisdom. The second part of that verse, he said it is earthly. It is unspiritual. No, if you've got a sharp tongue, if you are jealous, if you are always in rivalry, no, you are not a spiritual person. Your best friend might put her arm around you or his arm around you and tell you differently, but you need to let God put His arm around you and tell you the truth. It's been changed way too much over the years. The thing is that we say, oh, that's so restrictive, and that teaching on the tongue is scary. Man, it'll scare your pants off. But the blessing that's there, if we'll listen to God, that's what God's trying to... We are to be a blessing. We can talk blessing, we can talk scriptures, but unless we are at this place before God, that is when we are the blessing. So he's identifying this other wisdom that we're hanging on to, unspiritual and demonic. The mixed wisdom is unspiritual, earthly, and demonic. Thirdly, this morning, the person who is wise and understanding lives purely by the wisdom from above. Verses 17 and 18. But the wisdom from above is first pure. First pure. And I said that a little earlier. The wisdom from above is just that. It's the wisdom from above. It's not tainted. It's not spoiled. It's none of our stuff. We have the joy to be God's mouthpieces. I hope, Andy and JC, I hope you are just thrilled, and I think you are, with the opportunities God has given you. Go ahead, chase me down the street, boy. I'll have you come in. But this, and we don't know, and it's like we have missionaries in a country that we can't talk about because it's restricted and could put them in danger. And they talk about that they probably won't ever lead anybody to Christ. They're turning the ground, though. And man, do they have a perspective. This guy's a Rose Holman, retired professor. And they could be on the condo at the edge of the golf course. And they're over there in a very threatening society. And they say, so all these people and this ground that hasn't been broken, but you're starting that process, what God is going to do, what God will do, what God will do with a little old church in Western Illinois. How about we bow before him and see what he'll do? The wisdom from above is first pure, but it's got to be God's stuff. And we have mixed in so many things over the years. And that's why we come back. Is it saying it right here? And if it's not saying it right here very clearly, not what we're reading into it, we ditch it. Then peaceable. Just picture this person. Peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and fruit. Full of mercy and good fruits. You think the fruit of the Spirit. They think good fruits. I think one of our translations here has good works. We're full of these things. We've had people tell us before we're full of it. Well, hopefully, they'll look at us and they'll see we're full of this stuff and maybe not what they were thinking. Those who make, sown in peace by those who make peace. Our daughter, you followed the story. She's got this apartment. She's moved away from the immoral relationship. She's speaking of the, we won't let her listen to this. Don't anybody tell her. But she probably wouldn't mind, actually, or I wouldn't be doing it. But the kids, she said, I just can't get over. She said, just letting their guards down, just their, he said, I've never seen them so happy in this place that they've moved into. I said, you know, Mom and I, we didn't preach at her. We didn't nag at her. We spoke truth to her when she was in that relationship. But I said, where you are now, what you've given God the opportunity, I said, God will still work toward us in mercy and grace, but what you've given God the opportunity now is to completely pour himself into your life. And you have the opportunity, it's like God's gift to you to have a household of peace for your children. See, she's getting it. She said, Vivian is just acting like a little girl. And she said, Vivian doesn't act like a little girl. She's always got so much stuff going on because of the turmoil, whether it's at the other household or school or whatever. And I said, God has given you. See, this is what we should be doing. Look out, world. See, that's a good sign for some of you. See me doing that? Look out, world. If God's church starts getting it, look out. Look at the opportunity we have to go out and to sow peace. Whatever relationship it is, we are sowing peace. We are coming with full of mercy. Our world needs mercy. Our world needs grace. Our world needs this evidence of God's Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. You can be that person. God sent Andy and JC halfway around the globe. But you know what? If they weren't that person, big whoop. We can see the evidence in their life, God moving in their lives. We can be that person here. Someone had talked one time and they said, oh, I'm the only believer where I work. And the other person said, what an opportunity you have. See, we don't have to make this stuff up. We don't have to have this big promotion. What God offers to us, the opportunity, is amazing. If we will just listen and do it His way. Who is wise and understanding among you? Do we realize the treasure? Do we realize our opportunity? When you go down to that cafe and you're a peace farmer and you're making a connection and you're a witness of God. Now, this is all apart from just speaking words, and all those things are good too. I'm talking about, you know, Ecclesiastes, maybe chapter 4, I was going to look it up. It's in there. You guys are familiar with it. That God has set what in the hearts of men? God has set eternity. See, there are things, even when people are battling and they're refusing, when something eternal is happening, and that's what this is. See, the person who gets it, they're living in view of eternity. Their basket of fruit is just overflowing. They may never have read a Bible. They may never have walked into a church, but something eternal is happening. And that's in their hearts, and they might not know what it is. But that will speak to them. Not a self-righteous, self-proclaimed, proud church who we've adulterated God's message so much they can't even hardly recognize it ourselves. The opportunity that every person here, every believer in Jesus Christ, look out world, look out your world, look out your family gatherings. When you're going to be that person that just lets God spread Himself all over your turkey dinner, when you're opening Christmas presents, when you're on the job, wherever that is. Who is wise? The opportunity. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let Him show it. Let her show it with her good life. And her good works of faith and a life of humility from this wisdom, because we get it. Look out Western Illinois when this little old church, and we do get it, you get it, I know, needs to click more, light bulb shine a little brighter. God grip us. We don't apologize for being little. We don't apologize for maybe most of us being a little older than 35. Because our God is an awesome God, and He will make Himself known through each one of us. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for speaking to us. In Jesus' name, amen.